Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so we haven't had a share for a while because I decided to take the month of August off, in part because I needed to catch my breath, but we're back. And this share meets every Wednesday night, and we try to discuss halakhic topics. What I'd like to cover with you this week and probably for 4 or 5 weeks moving forward is the Isser of Yichud. Now, for those of us who live in Washington Heights, Yichud is a big one. In other words, the prohibition for a man and a woman to be secluded in the same space is something... What? We'll discuss the numbers. We'll get into all the details as we move on. Husband and wife is permitted, correct. But a man and a woman who are not married, there's a prohibition for them to be secluded together. That's called the Isser Yichud. Rumor has it that in Washington Heights, this is a issue that comes up very often because, as many people say, we live in what we call Camp Wahai. Camp Wahai is that everyone is like coming in and out and life is a lot of fun and it's very nice. It's very, very nice, but at the same time, there's an Isser of Yichud and we have to try to balance that. Now, there are what we will be talking about tonight is the Isser of Yichud itself. We will discuss that tonight in terms of general terms. The basic idea, though, in a few weeks, we will focus on ways around the prohibition. Meaning to say, there are certain prohibitions in the Torah that are prohibited, but there are ways around it. For example, ribis. No? Yeah. I'm not allowed to charge interest. I can't lend you $4 to get $5 back. So we have a mechanism called heter iska, which in most cases solves the ribis issue. Yichud also can be solved in most cases, providing you know what you're doing and you're aware of it. That's the goal. So first we want to analyze or discuss the Isser itself, and then in subsequent weeks we will talk about the ways around it. So let's begin. Is the prohibition of Yichud, is it a Torah prohibition or is it a rabbinic prohibition? Rabbinic. How do you know? Machlokas Rishon. That's like the easiest answer in Judaism. Well, no. That's talking about Krevala Arayos, perhaps. Right? In other words, hugging and kissing is... There might be a Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam assumes that's an Isidori Raisa, Chibuk and Nishuk. The Ramban... in one line assumes it's the Rabban. And there's another line in the Ramban where he assumes that hugging and kissing is an Isser d'Oraisa, but he calls it a Chatzi Shir of the Isser of Arayos itself. Arayos means that you can't have relations with people you can't marry. Right? That's the Isser of Arayos. Now, is Yichud d'Oraisa d'Rabban? Is the prohibition of being secluded with someone of the opposite gender? By the way, the prohibition is on both the man and the woman. Is that a Torah law or is that rabbinic law? So let's learn the Mishnah quickly. The Mishnah in Kedushin says, "Yisyachid adam shtei nashim, a man should not have yichud with two women, avo isha achas misyachedes im shnei anoshim. But one woman can have yichud with two men. We'll discuss these details in subsequent weeks. The Gemara asks, my time, or what's the reason? Tana deve Eliyahu, etc. We'll talk about that different time. Minahani mili, how do you know that it's forbidden? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochum, Mishum, Rabbi Yishmael, remez liyichum min ha-Torah minayin. What is the, how do we translate, remez? Allusion, hint. What is the hint for Yichud from the Torah? The Pasuk says, Ki yisischa achicha ben imecho ben avicha, when your brother, the son of your mother, will seduce you to get involved in Avodah Zarah. So Gemara asks, V'chi ben em mesis, ben av eno mesis? Are you going to tell me that the son of a mother seduces, the son of a father doesn't seduce? In other words, if we are half-brothers from the mother, there's a concern he's going to leave me straight off of the Zara. Half brothers from the father, there's no concern. That's not reasonable. That doesn't make sense. Elalo malacha. Ben yisiachid emimo, v'asir yisiachim kol arayah shebetorah. Says the Gemara, v'chi yisischa achicha ben imecha. The Torah says the son of a mother. And it's really not talking about seducing tavu de Zara. It's talking about yichud. To teach me that a son can have yichud with his mother, but you cannot have yichud with any of the other forbidden marriages in the Torah. That's what the Gemara says. Now, first of all, this Gemara, I think, makes us scratch our heads and spit wooden nickels. Like, what are you talking about? We're talking about seducing you to do avodah zarah, and then the next thing I know, we're about yichud, and we're saying that you can have yichud with your mother. So what would you say? What would you say about this Gemara? So I would say the simplest way to understand this Gemara, and it's a dead giveaway, is remez li yichud min atar. What does the word remez mean? It's a hint. It's a asmachta, right? It's not a din d'oraisa. And yichud is a rabbinic law, and sometimes the rabbis want us to remember their laws. So the rabbis find a pasuk, which is like a cute little drasha, to help us remember the law. So I would say that yichud is rabbinic, no? And I think that's the easiest way of taking this pasuk. It's a din d'rabbanan, it's rabbinic, that's the easiest way to understand this Gemara. Problem, right? It would be too simple to just say it's d'rabbanan. Problem. Zak the Gemara, in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Vav, next source, Yichud debas Yisrael, do'iraisahi. The Gemara says that to have Yichud with a Jewish woman, to have Yichud with a non-Jewish woman is rabbinic, the Gemara says, no? Me and my babysitter, right? That is Yichud d'rabbanan, no? She's non-Jewish. Her name is Swani. She's from India. She's non-Jewish. But Yichud with a Jewish woman is d'oraisa. Says the Gemara, d'oraisa. D'oraisa means Torah law. So which one is it? Is it Torah law or is it rabbinic law? So it's a contradiction, no? Most Mefarshim understand that Yichud is a din d'oraisa. The Gemara in Kedushin says remez. The Gemara in Kedushin says it's a hint. Most Mefarshim understand, and the Ramban has this in his Sefer HaMitzvos in Shoresh Gimel. Remember, Rambam, Maimonides tells us, or I should say it like this, the Gemara tells us that there's 613 mitzvos. The Rambam gives us a list of the 613 mitzvos. The Ramban says, Rambam, you're a nice guy and all that, but you totally messed up. Because you counted some that you shouldn't have counted, you didn't count others that you should have counted, right? Totally messed up, Rambam. So the Ramban says, I have my own list. Okay, so there's a Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. Now, as an introduction to the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam gives us rules. And the Rambam's first rule is, I don't count anything which is rabbinic. And the word remez, the Rambam says, that means it's rabbinic. If it's a hint, it's got to be rabbinic. Says the Ramban, I'm sorry, sir, you're making a mistake. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Beis, the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Beis speaks about a remez l'nisoch hamayim in HaTorah. Right, nisoch hamayim is on Sukkot, they pour water on the Mizbeach. That's a din d'oraisa. Gemara says remez. Gemara in Makkos Daf Beis, remez l'edim zomimin. There are additional sheets over here. Remez l'edim zomimin min HaTorah. The word remez might sound rabbinic, but the Ramban tells us sometimes the word remez is d'oraisa. And the Ramban says, and I have proof from the pudding. Yichud. Yichud, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, is d'oraisa. Right? It says remez. You know what the Ramban says? Remez doesn't necessarily mean it's d'rabbanon. Right? Now, what does that mean exactly? The Gemara says it's a hint. What it probably means is something along the lines of the following. You could be d'oraisa, you could be a Torah law for one of two reasons. You could be a Torah law because there's an explicit pasuk that says, don't do this. Right? Torah says, God writes that you shouldn't steal. That's Torah law, no? Okay, that's it. Now, sometimes it could be d'oraisa, not because it's explicit in the pasuk, but because Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai taught us a halacha. Nisach HaMayim is a d'oraisa because of halacha l'moshe Sinai. Mayim. There's a mem, a yud, and a mem, right? Es and Tios. Nisach HaMayim. Now, Rava, the Gemara says, are all halacha l'moshe Sinai. But that means it's a din d'oraisa. But it's a din d'oraisa that's not scriptural. But we want a pasuk to help us remember. That's remez. Right? So it's a din d'oraisa. However, it's really not explicit in the pasuk, and that's why the Gemara says remez. In other words, this pasuk about a father, about a son allowed to have yichud with his mother, and you can't have yichud with any of the other forbidden relationships, that is remez, right? Remez means it's really halacha l'moshe Sinai. Fine. Now, What we are saying basically is as follows, that Yichud is a din d'oraisa. It's a Torah law. But it's not explicit in the Torah, hence the word remez. And that is probably what everyone in Judaism holds, including the Rambam. You see, if you look, I give you a source in the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Shmuel. Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer, where the halachas of Yichud apply, have different commentators than the other volumes of Shulchan Aruch. No? There are four volumes of Shulchan Aruch. Orachayim is about daily life, Yoredeya is about like kashrus, and then we just throw everything else into Yoredeya. We get into Avodah Zarah and everything else. Chosha Mishpat is about monetary matters, and Eben HaEzer is about forbidden and permitted relationships. Right? That's what Eben HaEzer is about. In Shulchan Aruch Eben HaEzer, the major commentator is the Beis Shmuel. And the Beis Shmuel over here quotes, it is the second line in the Beis Shmuel. He quotes that according to the Rambam, the prohibition of Yichud is min ha-kabbalah, because it's remez, and therefore you don't get malchus. All you get is malchus maridus. If I violate a Torah prohibition, I get 39 lashes. But if I violate a rabbinic prohibition, I get malchus maridus. Malchus maridus is a little bit different than ordinary lashes, no? Not that we do this. Like, I think if we'd start giving lashes in Mount Sinai Jewish Center, we'd lose a lot of members. So we're not going to institute the practice anytime soon. But regular lashes is 39 strokes with a leather strap from an ox. Makas maridus, Tosfos in Nazir says makas maridus might not be 39; it might be 13. So you get away easier. But they use a stick. They don't use a belt. That's one opinion about what Makas Maridus. I don't know what's better, what's worse. I've never experienced either of them. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that there's certain things called clay hadayonim. A bezin is supposed to have certain materials with them. And one of them is a makol, is a stick. Why does the bezin have a stick? Makas Maridus, to hit you. No? That's easy. That's it. Right? The Rambam writes that you get Makas Maridus if you violate Yichud. The Rambam says if a person is secluded with someone of the opposite gender, right, you get Makas Maridus. You get these lashes with a stick, 13 of them, according to one opinion in Tosfos and Nazir. Beautiful. Why does the Rambam not say you get full-fledged lashes? So some understand that according to the Rambam, Yichud is rabbinic. And that might be what the Beis Shmuel is getting at. However, it's probably the case that Yichud is not rabbinic. Yichud is probably a Torah prohibition, but I still can't get lashes for it because I only get lashes. I only get the 39 straps with the wet noodle, right? When, that's what my wife always says. I have no idea what that means. But I only get the 39 lashes when I violate an explicit pasuk, something that is clear in the Torah. So Yichud is d'oraisa. It's a serious matter, etc. Now, Yichud, that's the oraisa, applies to all arayos. Arayos are forbidden relationships, people I can't marry. There's a whole list of them, no? You can't marry your sister, you can't marry your mother, you can't marry your aunt, you can't marry your granddaughter, that's only rabbinic. Got to be weird, but okay, fine, whatever. Right? There are certain arayos which are min ha-Torah, certain arayos which are midrabanan. These are forbidden relationships. In our most common Washington Heights scenario, is the Yichud d'Orais or is the Yichud d'Rabbanon? So, in most cases, what we have is a guy and a girl, right? But the girl has not gone to the mikvah, correct? We have a practice that goes back to the Rivash, the period, the 13th century, that single women don't go to the mikvah. That's a long-standing practice. It's probably a good practice. But that's the basic idea. So the single women are nidos, no? Does that make Yichud min ha-Torah? Does that make Yichud midrabanan?
Well, you could marry them.
So you could marry them, okay. And therefore, that's a mitigating factor. Maybe it's not Torah Yichud. The one type of yichud that we know is permitted so far is yichud with your mother. Right? Why is yichud with your mother permitted? So, the Chazal say it's the opposite of libel gaspa. Right? Chazal say that libel gaspa will mean that you're more likely to violate. With your mother, Chazal have an assessment that people won't get sexually involved with their mother. A guy and his mother won't get sexually involved. That's what... Now, again, that doesn't mean that there have never been cases. There have been cases, but it creeps us out for a good reason.
Because there is a pretty deep-seated...
Yes. And this goes back to Freud, right? This is like, yes.
Huh?
Correct. The Edible, Freud wrote a whole book about this stuff, no? So yichud with your mother is permitted because a father with a daughter is also permitted. We assume that any direct bloodline is permitted, no? A child with a grandparent, we assume, is permitted also. We'll discuss cases like this, some of the permutations later on. Even though many of these cases could be only an Isser D'Rabbanan, but still, the yichud is permitted. The yichud is permitted. Great. Now, so yichud with a mother is permitted. What other cases of yichud are permitted? So I have a case. Yichud with my wife when she's a nida. Is that permitted or forbidden? Now, if you're an Ethiopian, you know, the Jews who came up from Ethiopia, they actually have separate homes for when they are nidos. I remember when I went with my parents... In 85, we went to Israel, right after Operation, what was it called?
Moses.
Operation Moses, right? I think that's what it was called. So we went to an absorption center, and I see they have like lots of little houses next to the big house. And I'm asking, well, what's these little houses about? So my parents don't want this like little 10-year-old kid, 11-year-old kid, to like get the real answer over here. So like, shh, let's go on. Like, next thing, and I figured it out. You know, like, it's not that hard. I was like, bright little guy. So the Ethiopians have a separate yichud, separate home for when the wife is a nida. They don't live together. No, and some understand, and there were traditions like this among Hasidei Ashkenaz that the word nida comes from the approach of complete separateness, and you don't live together. No. There were approaches, this is not mainstream Judaism at all. I don't know of anyone who does this anymore. But among Hasidei Ashkenaz, what's her name? Elisheva Baumgarten, I think, wrote a book about this. That among Hasidei Ashkenaz, there were certain practices that it was forbidden to walk in the footsteps of a nida, that they treated nida like an expression of being very far, separate, pushed away, etc. Our approach, right, Chazal's approach, Rabbi Akiva teaches us in the Gemara and Shabbos, that we want a woman to get dressed up beautifully while she's a nida, shelo tiskan al bala. Right? In other words, that we want husbands and wives to still have love for each other when there's a period of nida, and we permit yichud when, right, the wife is a nida. It's absolutely permitted. So Tosis asks a question. Tosis here in Sanhedrin asks. You see v'im toma. You see Tosis in Sanhedrin, it's like the fifth source. They made it, I think, 10-point font or 9-point font to try to get everything on two sides of a page, which I give them credit for being able to pull this stunt off, but it does require a little bit of eye strain to read it. Tosis asks, "V'im tomar ha-yichud is do'i raisahi." Tosis assumes that yichud is a real Torah prohibition. Like we say, the same Gemara that we have in Kedushin Daf Pei, he quotes from earlier in Sanhedrin L'chaf Aleph, "Ki yisischa achicha ben imecha." The Gemara says that we have a pasuk of Hatorah Heida Suga Bashoshanim, that when a woman is a nida shoshanim, there's like red suga, there's like a fence. That a husband and a wife, they won't break down that fence when she's a nida. So Tosa asks, one second, but Suga Bashoshanim is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim. How does a pasuk in Shir HaShirim come to uproot the halacha of yichud, which is a Torah prohibition? So Tosis answers, "V'yesh loma d'lo asra Torah ela ke'en imo, d'lo avida d'mishtaria, avonida sofa litaher." Tosis says, "Well, the Torah only forbids yichud in the case that you're likely to violate, and it has to be something that's ke'en imo." Like your mother, delo avida demishtaria, that will never be permitted. But nida will become permitted later on. And since she will be permitted later on, the couple will be permitted to each other later on, So that's why there's no prohibition of yichud. That's why you're allowed to be secluded with your wife when she's a nida. However, in the one case, this is the very unfortunate case of a chuppas nida, no? In the unfortunate situations of a chuppas nida today, because of birth control pills, it almost never happens. Although a few weeks ago in a certain case that I was involved in, we were really, really close. But it's very rare today because of birth control pills to have chuppas nida. But the Gemara has dinim of chuppas nida. And the Gemara says that if you have a chuppas nida situation, then even though they're husband and wife, they can't be secluded. No? That's why you have to like plant the kid in the yichud room.
And then the whole room.
No one knows. You plant a little 6-year-old kid in there. No, you do it in a way that nobody notices. Right? You don't.
Only the
Edom don't either know. We give the ring normally. The Edom, Yichud. Usually in these situations, you have the rabbi and someone else serve as Edom, or you don't designate Edom Yichud and no one notices at a wedding. Trust me. If you don't designate Edom Yichud, no one will notice whatsoever. Everyone's like busy dancing, no one's going to notice. So, the case of a chuppas nida, the halacha is that even though they are a couple, it's a husband and wife, they still can't have yichud. Because we're only lenient with yichud with my wife when she's a nida once we already had relations at one point. Because in that situation, we assume that the passion for relations is less intense. But if you have a couple who's married and has not been able to be together, by the way, we have had shailas about, let's say you have a chuppas nida. I mean, this shaila I never got, but the post can discuss it. Let's say you have a chuppas nida of a couple who was living together before they got married. Right? Rahman al-Aswan. It happens. Right? Everything could happen. So the fact is, if you have a chuppas nida, since the couple has not yet been together, so then there is a prohibition of yichud. In these situations, generally we recommend that you go to a hotel and you take two separate rooms. That's generally, it becomes expensive. But okay, that's the general recommendation, yeah.
By Chametz and Pesach, use the same logic to be machmir that you do here to be big.
What do you mean?
Because it's one that will be eventually permitted.
So Chametz and Pesach, right, we have additional. Over here, right, because it'll be eventually permitted, so therefore we assume it's not the Davar Sheyesh Matir in the concept of bittul, etc., right, because it'll be permitted, so it's less likely to be bottle. You're correct, but over here the logic is that the Torah says that there's a yichud similar to your mother. Your mother is the one case that's permitted, because we know for sure you're not going to have relations. Everything else is forbidden, but now we know that a married couple is allowed to have yichud even though nida is an erva. Now, this of course leads, what about, whoa. So now, one second. What type of yichud exists with a married couple who have not yet had relations? Is that yichud a Torah prohibition? Is that yichud a rabbinic prohibition? So this is it's a question. Most assume that it's a din d'oraisa. Most assume that nida is a full-fledged erva, it's a full-fledged illicit sexual relationship, and as such, the prohibition of yichud with a nida is a da'orai. So there is a tshuva the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelak Vav Simin Mem, paragraph Chaf Beis, where the Tzitz Eliezer argues that he thinks that yichud with a nida is only derabbanan. By the way, if that's the case, life in Washington is so much easier. No? Let me give you an example. We assume that by yichud de oraisa, by Torah yichud prohibitions, so I need to have the door really open. By rabbinic yichud prohibitions, it's enough if the door is closed but not locked. Right? Now, some people, I don't know why, but some people are scared of leaving the door wide open in Washington Heights. I don't know why. It's a great neighborhood, beautiful neighborhood. Right? What could possibly go wrong? But, okay, there's certain people that have like this mishigas, not to leave the door. Now, if it's rabbinic prohibition, so then we could have the door closed but not locked, no? But if it's a Torah prohibition, so then the door has to, most assume that yichud today is a, again, in a situation with a woman who hasn't gone to the mikvah, who's not your wife, most assume that that is a Torah prohibition of yichud, And if it's a Torah prohibition of Yichud, so then the door really has to be all the way open. I think that's the most common scenario that we have for Yichud, but we're assuming that it's a Din d'Oraisa. I think that's the consensus of poskim. There's a stray line in this tshuva and that tshuva, but most assume that it's a real d'Oraisa. Now, let's tell a story. Any of you lawyers? Okay, excellent. So, the Westlaw Review. You know what that is?
Yes.
Yeah. What?
The Westlaw Review. Who Westlaw or Westlaw Review?
The Westlaw Review.
Okay, who published it?
I don't know. I found it online. It's called Westlaw. Cases 54 Miscellaneous.
Okay, it's a legal research.
What? It's a legal?
Legal research.
It's a case report. Okay. Now, by the way, if you don't want to read legal case briefs, apparently there was an episode of a TV show called Curb Your Enthusiasm that had the same story. What? The ski lift. Right. So basically the story goes like this, that there was a young woman named Ruth Friedman who was 16
years ago.
This is 1963. April 23rd, 1963. That's before I was born, okay? But this Ruth Friedman is taking a day off from camp. She's in Camp Shira in the mountains, and she's going out with a guy named Jack Katz, and they go to some ski resort, and they go up on the ski lift, and then at 5:50 p.m., the ski lift stops while they're up in the air. And that's the story. Now, what Ruth Friedman does is she's worried about a prohibition called the Jichud. Right? That's what it's called in the Westlaw Review. So she's very nervous about this jihud, so she jumps off the ski lift. And she suffers injuries. And because we live in a very, society, so therefore what she did is she decides to sue the ski resort for not appropriately posting signs that the lift would be closing at 5:45 or whatever it was. Okay, so she's suing. So they sue her back. They say, no, we are not negligent for not posting signs. You are contributorily negligent because, doofus, why are you jumping off the ski lift? Yes. Right? That's basically the argument here. So they bring in an expert to give testimony, named Rabbi Herschel Stahl. Right? I have no idea who he is. I tried to Google him. I didn't really get anything. So Rabbi Herschel Stahl comes and he says, no, you're misunderstanding, because there's a prohibition called the Jichud that any self-respecting Orthodox Jew and Jewess are aware of this prohibition of the Jichud. And according to many authorities, one has to lose their life rather than violate the Jichud. So therefore, right, you are right for jumping off the ski lift. And the court found that, in fact, Ruth Friedman was not contributorily negligent. The court writes that it's not our business to decide matters of Jewish law. We don't know if Rabbi Herschel Stahl is telling the truth or is not telling the truth. But the fact is, since there are some people who believe this, so she felt that's her moral obligation to jump off the ski lift, and that's why, right? And that's why she was not contributorily negligent. Now, why she would jump off and not he jump off, good question. Why she didn't push him off, and there are many other possibilities over here. But, yeah.
I read this story by a series of Christian gentlemen. His immediate response was, but why did the guy jump off?
Right. You should be a gentleman. So somehow in Orthodox Judaism, the notion that a guy should be a gentleman is not always as emphasized. And this is something that we should stress more and more often. Guys should be gentlemen. Got it? It's on record. Fine. Now, so the question of whether Yichud, assuming Yichud is Doiraiso, which we assume, that's the beginning. So is it now Yehurig va'al Ya'avar? Remember, Isuri Arayos. There are big three in Judaism, no? Gili Arayos, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah. I have to give up my life rather than violate one of these three. So is Yichud a De'oraisa? Yes. Is Yichud Gili Arayos? Is it the type of illicit sexual relationship for which I have to lose my life rather than violate, right? Obviously, Ruth Friedman, who's now probably a grandmother somewhere, she felt, yes, she's obligated. What we will contend is that there's many reasons why she might not have been correct to jump off the ski lift, but the conversation as to whether yichud is yahard v'yabar is a conversation. Can you have yichud in situations of pekuach nefesh? No? I'll give you a few other examples. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a tshuva about an ambulance driver in the Shtachim who has to go and pick up a woman to take her to the hospital for whatever the reason. And he's very worried. There's an iser yichud because it's only him in the ambulance and her.
No? Why are there women ambulance drivers, folks?
Okay. So that's one way of solving the problem. So is there an Isra Yichud? Is Yichud Yeharig Va'al Yahar? In other words, right, ambulance driver. That might mean that potentially you would have to lose your life. No? It's hard to say. Hard to say. But maybe that's the halacha. So.
And doesn't the Rambam have a situation? Doesn't he list the situation about if she wants to be Medabri Momeh?
So the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Ayin Hey has cases of not exact arayos, but things that are very similar to arayos. The Gemara says that there was a certain guy whose helo libotina, his heart was like going out for this young woman. And the doctor said that there's no hope, there's no cure, achati ba'elo, unless they have relations. So the rabbi said, no, you can't have relations. So the doctor said, tamo lefono of aruma, let her stand naked in front of him. So Gemara says, the rabbi said, no, we can't do that. Tidabri imo achori hageder, let them speak from behind the fence. Right? So the rabbi said they can't do that. Now, what does that Gemara mean? Does that Gemara mean that all these things are genuinely yahari vayavar? Or does the Gemara mean to say something to the effect of that the rabbi's caught on that the doctors are lying? Right? In other words, one could argue, there's a big machlekes harishonim. I give you the sources on the second side of the page. There's a Tosas in Psachim versus a Ran in Psachim as to whether abizrayu degilu arayos, right, the extraneous elements of arayos, the accoutrements, not the real iser, not the actual relations, but the abizrayu, the side things, are they also yeharg vayavar? So Tosas assumes that abizrayu is not yeharg vayavar. The Ran assumes that it is yeharg vayavar. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah paskins that kol iser avodazari gilu arayos and shvichas damim, even though there is no misa, it's only though it's a lav ba'alma, sarich leharig v'lo lavar. In other words, the Ramah paskins in Shulchan Aruch, like the Ran, not like Tosas, the Abizrayu d'Arayus is yeharig v'yavar. That you have to give up your life. And once I paskin that way, so does that mean that yichud also, a person has to give up their life rather than violate yichud? So again, it's hard to say, but let's analyze this question briefly. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph. You see on the source sheet, it says Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph. V'atidar neder v'atomer Hashem tzvakos. Amar Balazim, Yosha Bakosh Baruch Hu es olam Elohai Adam shekosh Bakosh Baruch Hu tzvakos. Until Chanah came, and Chanah called God tzvakos. Chanah calls God the Lord of Hosts. So Chanah says to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Mikot tzvei tzvaot shebarasa b'olamecha, kasha b'enecha, shititam li ben echad. Chanah's like arguing with God, saying, God, that you created so many hosts in the world, it's difficult for you to give me even a single child, right? So, etc. She gives an example. So, let's continue the Gemara. Two more lines from here. Amr Belaza, Amr Chanof Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shalom, Imra'a Mutav, Imlav Tir'eh, Elech Estater Befnei Elkana Bali, V'kendim Estatarna Mashkuli Me'sota, V'yata Osa Toroscho Plaster. Chanah basically is saying to God, whoa, God, I know something. I know that the Torah speaks about the sota. The sota is a woman who's suspected by her husband of having an affair. No? And the Torah says that what happens in these situations is that you have to drink me sota, that you drink the water. And there's a special promise. The promise is that if the woman is innocent, she's going to end up having lots of children. So Chanah says, you know what I'm going to do, God? I'm going to force your hand to give me children. I'm going to go, and I'm going to be accused by my husband of having an affair. Right? How do you do that? Eoch v'estater, I will go and I will seclude myself with another man. And Elkanah, my husband, is going to say, hey, Chana, you're having an affair. What's going on? He's going to do kinui. And then the stira happened after all the rules of sota will take place. And then Chana is saying, okay, God, and that way I'm going to have a child. Because I'm going to drink the word of sota. Everyone knows I'm going to be innocent, amazing. That's how she wants to be a child really badly. That's what the Gemara says. Beautiful Gemara. Right? So now, one second. Hold it. What's Chana saying over here? Saying, I'm going to seclude myself with a man? Right? Yichud! Yichud is Doraisa. How can you violate an Issa Doraisa? It's Yehorig Vayavar, maybe. Right? Maybe you have to give up your life rather than violate it. So the Nitziv, Rosh Yivan Valoshin, the Nitziv writes in his commentary, the Hamek Sha'olah, She'utos Kufchaf, the Nitziv has a chiddush. He says, you know what Chana is arguing to God? She's saying that Yichud in this case is permitted. Because I'm so downtrodden, I'm so depressed by not having a child, that it's pekuach nefesh. It's saving me. It's saving my life to have Yichud and force God's hand that I should have a child. And Yichud is permitted in situations of pekuach nefesh. That's why the Nitziv understands this Gemara. Now, are there any other ways out of this proof from the Gemara? The Gemara is saying the Chana is arguing with God, and Chana is saying, I will have Yichud, and that will force God's hand to give me a child. No? So it seems like it's a good proof that Yichud is permitted in certain cases. And maybe the reason is because it was Pekuach Nefesh, maybe that's the argument. Are there other ways out of this? I'm not sure. It seems like the Nitziv has an interesting argument over here why Yichud should be permitted, at least in cases where it might lead to losing one's life. Now, if Yichud is not Yeharig Val Yavar, if you don't have to lose your life, so we have to question why that would be true. And the answer over here probably has to do with something that's found in the next source and following, but because it's getting a little bit late, we'll just do it quickly. What's the reason for the prohibition of Yichud? There are two types of prohibitions in Judaism. Yeah?
You could say it's a bit like a fence. You're saying
It's a fence. Don't. And by the way, I think one of the reasons why I think Yichud is so important, no one can deny the desires that exist. They're there. That's the way God made people. And we have to establish certain fences to make sure that we don't succumb. That's the simple understanding of Yichud, that it's a precautionary measure. However, the Sefer HaChinuch, in the next source, has a slightly different take. Sefer HaChinuch writes that you can't have Yichud. Why? V'over aleha v'kirev el ha'er v'kirev basar, etc., or Yichud. So in that situation, that is called Lotikrivu Legalos Erva. The Sefer HaChinuch argues that Yichud is part of Lotikrivu. Meaning to say, and Reb Lazer Shach, who is Rashi Ivan Ponovich, he points this out, that the Sefer HaChinuch is arguing that the Torah says that not only can you not have relations with Arayos, but you can't hug and kiss. That's Lotikrivu Legalos Erva. You can't come close to Arayos. Sefer HaChinuch maintains that being secluded with a person is a form of Lotikrivu. In other words, it's not just a precautionary measure. The act itself is forbidden, because that's called kreva. I should say it like this. There are different types of precautionary measures. There are precautionary measures which are inherently forbidden. And then there are precautionary measures which are forbidden only as a precaution. Right? The Sefer HaChinuch's argument, and the Chazon Ish really does not like this in a big way, Sefer HaChinuch argues that he thinks that Yichud is inherently prohibited. It's prohibited the same as chibuk v'nishuk. It's a form of kreva la'arayos. It's not forbidden because it will lead, yes, But much more, the act of being secluded itself is forbidden. Now, if that's the case, if the Chazon Ish is right, so then Yichud might be different than other forms of Abizrael Darayos. Meaning to say, if hugging and kissing, we're assuming that that's called Kreval Arayos, that means that you're involved in Arayos to a limited extent. But Yichud, if it's only a precautionary measure, one could argue that even if the simple reading of that Gemara in Sanhedrin is correct, that Kreval Arayos is Yehar Vayavar, but Yichud might not be, because Yichud is not inherently prohibited. Yichud is prohibited, right, only as a precaution. Does this make sense? So I think that is an approach to take. Now, let's just give you one or two other cases which are somewhat interesting in this respect. On the sheets, I have a small discussion about Chatzi Shir by Yichud. Is it forbidden to have Yichud for half a second, for a minute? Right? There is a Shir of Yichud, no? How much time is necessary for Yichud? So at any wedding, if you're an aid Yichud, they tell you stay outside the Yichud room for 9 minutes, no? That's what I use as the Shir. Where does that come from? The Gemara in Sota gives us measurements for how much time stira has to be. This halacha of a Sota, of a woman who's secluded with a man other than her husband, and the husband is jealous, etc., right? How much time do you have to be secluded together? So the Gemara has all these weird measurements. Amount of time to walk around a tree, the amount of time to fry an egg. How big is the egg? How high is the fire? How big is the tree? No one knows. No one knows these measurements. And the Shir of Yichud basically has a range in the poskim from 30 seconds, which is kind of impossible to live with, to around 9 minutes. Now, if you hold that the shir is 9 minutes, can you have yichud for 30 seconds? Right? Do I assume the chatzi shir is aser min ha-Torah? Right? Usually, right, I can't eat a kezayis of nevela. If I eat a kezayis, I'll get lashes. If I eat a morsel of nevela, so it's a Torah prohibition, but I don't get lashes. That's the Gemara in Yuma. The chatzi shir is aser min ha-Torah. Do I assume that a second of yichud is also aser? So the Achronim will discuss this. This also relates to, is yichud a precautionary measure? Or is Yichud inherently forbidden? All the cases of Chatzi Shir Asur Min HaTorah, there is some inherent prohibition, etc.
It's the same Shalat.
Correct. Rabbi Nachum Zemba has a discussion, walking two Amos, the Me'iri has a Dachdalad in Shabbos, right? There's a whole discussion about that, absolutely. Now, this is relevant for the following case that people might think is absolutely nuts, but it happened. There was a woman who unfortunately lost her husband while she was away on vacation in Alaska. Okay? No, I said it wrong. She lost her father while she's away on vacation in Alaska. And there's a huge snowstorm and she can't get to the father's funeral. She really wants to get to the father's funeral. So there was an option that there's a pilot who has a little two-seater airplane. Is she allowed to fly with this pilot? Right? People think this is crazy. No, everyone's like, wow, why the heck am I talking?
She actually asked the Shaila, yeah.
Right, okay, fine, got it. Now, I can see from your face exactly what you're thinking. It's not so hard. Right? But,
Autopilot.
So the question is there a prohibition of Yichud to be in a plane, in a two-seater plane, when you're flying up in the air? Now, if I assume that the prohibition of Yichud is that it should lead to, we're worried, it's a precautionary measure, might lead to having sex. So, not to be too gruesome about it, when you're flying, it ain't going to happen, right? But if the pro... do I assume that the prohibition of Yichud might not only be about having relations, but it might be about all the other accoutrements, right? That maybe they'll come to hug and kiss when they're flying over Alaska.
I hope.
All right? Now, most poskim assume, Reb Usher Weiss permitted the woman to fly back from Alaska in the two-seater airplane, because he's assumed that the prohibition of yichud is only for bia, it's not for anything else. And one of the proofs is the fact that there's a shear of yichud, no?
Yeah.
If I speak about a measurement of an amount of time, chibuk v'nishuk, there's no time measurement that you can give for it, no? That's what it is. But the fact is, Rebbe Yashiv and Rebbe Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg wanted to forbid the woman from flying back in this little two-seater airplane. Rebbe Asher Weiss really believes that the prohibition of yichud is only because of actual relations, and in the situation that when you're taking off, there are people near you. When you land, there are people near you. The only concern is while you're flying, so there's no iser of yichud. Rav Moshe Feinstein contradicts himself in his tshuvas about this point, no? Rav Moshe Feinstein, in one of his tshuvas, maintains that the prohibition of yichud is only because you might have bia. That's what Rav Moshe writes in Simen Pei Dalet or something. But in Chelak Bei Simen Samach Hei, Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes that the prohibition of yichud is even because of chibuk v'nishuk, hugging and kissing. And Rav Moshe has a big chumrah that I think no one has. Rav Moshe says you're not allowed to get in a car with a person of the opposite gender, even if you're getting in the car in a populated area, but there's always a concern that you might go off the road to an unpopulated area. No one holds like this Rav Moshe. No one understands it. And Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva also that he thinks the prohibition of yichud that if you're secluded, you might come to chibuk v'nishuk. You might come to hug and kiss. The whole thing, I saw there's a sefer V'dibarta Abam, which is Reb David Feinstein, Reb Moshe's son. So he points out this contradiction in his father's psakim. It's very difficult. It's a real contradiction. But I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this contradiction within Reb Moshe, but the fact is, as a matter of halacha, I think the prohibition of yichud is only that it shouldn't come to bia. I think if that's the case, so... Okay, I won't say the last piece because it will take us too far afield, but basically what we're trying to argue is as follows. Did Ruth Friedman do the right thing when she jumped off the ski lift? So I think there are a few reasons why it was not proper. First of all, according to Tosfos, Abizrayo Varayos is never Yehar Gval Yavar. Second of all, even if Abizrayo Varayos is Yehar Gval Yavar, Yichud is probably not Yehar Gval Yavar. Because yichud is a precaution rather than being inherently prohibited. Moreover, in situations of yeharig va'al ya'avar, what that means is I can't be active to violate a prohibition. In this case, she was passive. He was in the ski lift. They're there. So to remain passive and passively violate a prohibition, no one assumes that you should actively do something to get out of it. All the yeharig va'al ya'avar cases, Tosfos points out, is that I can't be active, no? Without getting involved in all the details, I think that's correct. Moreover, we have the other positions, even though we don't really hold this way, but other positions that might maintain that yichud in these cases is only rabbinic. So I think Ruth Friedman was not correct for jumping off the ski lift, though it makes a great story. So that's the basic introduction. Next week, I think we'll continue with the prohibition of yichud. I want to talk about numbers a bit. And how many people are needed to avoid a prohibition. We'll discuss that, and then we'll move on from there. And I thank you for coming and listening.